We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Wednesday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio broadcast. This is Bob Arthurs, and it's an honor to bring the word to you. I just want to let you know today that this is an unusual week for us, and our kids are away at youth camp this week, kids camp. By the way, we got to send the most number of kids to camp we had ever sent, and that's very exciting. I've also got just huge amounts of my congregation that are away on vacation. I didn't get the memo that everybody was scheduling their vacation this week, but we are preparing for our shoe distribution that is coming up on Sunday morning at 10:30 for those who were able to come be a part of the preliminaries this last week. This coming week, we have a combined service, our kids ministry and our adult ministry worship services. Those are going to be combined at 10:30 of a morning. And we don't have a Sunday night service this coming Sunday night. We're giving our workers that night off because especially with so many people on vacation, we are going to really be working for the glory of the Lord. And so that's coming up this week. We'd love to see you come out and be a part of it. Our church is not large, but it is growing. And we are just excited about what God is doing. But if you were planning on attending our Wednesday services this week, we would love to see you in a couple of weeks because next week I will be away at General Council, our annual business meeting. And so we will not be having our vintage service next week, but that night, not tonight, but a week from tonight, we have a special service with a children's choir from the country of Belize, and excited to have them come and join with us. For most of those, if not all of them, it will be their first time out of their own country. And so many of them have not even, from what I've been told, been out of their neighborhood before. And here they are taking a ministry trip all the way to the United States. And so it should be a very exciting night. That'll be a week from tonight at 6:30 of an evening. So anyway, that's what we have as far as our service schedules that are going on. We do want to say thank you to Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electrical, 632-9538, 632-9538. If you need any help in your air conditioning or electrical, give them a call. They have multiple crews and can go any place here in the county, so they can get to where you are. Isn't it great when somebody is able to come to you where your problem is at? And so if you need some help, call Carla, 632-9538. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh Radio broadcast. So let's get into the Word of God. Today we're going back to Genesis. Wow, that sounds like a movie title, you know, instead of Back to Future, Back to the Beginning. And so Genesis chapter 40, verse number 5, and it says, "Then the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, had a dream, both of them, each man's dream in one night, and each man's dream with its own interpretation. And Joseph came into them in the morning and looked at them and saw that they were sad. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in the custody of his lord's house, saying, 'Why do you look so sad today?' And they said to him, 'We each have had a dream, and there is no interpreter of it.' So Joseph said to them, 'Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please.' Then the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, 'Behold, in my dream a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches, and it was as though it budded, its blossoms shot forth, and its clusters brought forth ripe grapes. Then Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said to him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Now within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your place, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand according to the former manner when you were his butler. But remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me, make mention of me to Pharaoh, and get me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen from the land of the Hebrews, and also I have done nothing here that they should put me into the dungeon. We're going to stop the reading there for right now. So I believe it was yesterday's broadcast where I had prayed for you at the end of the broadcast that God would make you attentive to the needs that other people might be having around you, that God would give us the ability to perceive when people were going through something that was not their typical mindset. And, I encourage you, don't ever ignore those things. And so I was having a conversation later that night with someone who, unbeknownst to them, what I had taught on the radio broadcast that morning, they began to share with me that God had used them in exactly this way. And so I am very, very thankful that God's people are servants to those around them and are there to perceive whenever they are going through some difficulties, maybe that the world doesn't even know, or they don't want the world to know what is going on. So I also want to address this situation about this sadness, and I just want to remind all of us that we are in charge of our own emotions, and we can't just be pointing at other people and thinking that they're the source and they're the problem. We need to take responsibility for our own actions. We need to take captive every thought that exalts itself against the name of the Lord or against the plan and the purpose and the calling that he has given into his life. Take that thing captive. I was teaching in Fiji a little over a week ago, about a week and a half ago, and I was reading, and it was one of the passages that was in the lesson was, we demolish strongholds. And I was like, oh man, I just love the way that says that. We demolish strongholds and take captive every thought. And so I just encourage you that if you think that it is okay and acceptable to have that demeanor and that personality, I want to ask you, quite frankly, this is, would it shock you if Jesus had that personality? As you read the scripture, would it shock you if the Jesus that you knew, all of a sudden, he was manifesting some of the things that you would, I ask you, would it be acceptable for him? And if it's not acceptable for him, if it's not acceptable for your pastor, if it's not acceptable in public, is it really acceptable? Or is that possibly a seed that the enemy has sown to try and get you to buy in emotionally to something that God would actually be displeased with? So I want to move on here. And verse number 8, and it said, and they said to him, we each have had a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. So Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please. So they began, as Joseph began to inquire why there was sadness going in their life, because they had built a relationship. Remember, they had been together with Joseph being in charge and serving them. They had been in this situation, it said, for a while. And when you are in contact with a person over a period of time, you begin to develop a relationship, an insight into that relationship, and there begins to be a trust factor that goes on there. And so they began to share with this person because they knew that Joseph was genuinely concerned. I want to encourage you today. I pray, whatever church you're attending, I pray that you will make that the friendliest church around. I hope you come in with a smile on your face, with a song in your heart, with a testimony on your lips. I pray that you come in not to be served, but to serve, that you come in and you are looking for someone that you can share the joy of the Lord. And so one of the things that I had an article that I ran across was that first-time visitors, when they come to a church, they are able to see through somebody who is just putting on an act, or the professional greeter, you know, the one who's, or the positional greeter, I'll put it that way, and that they're just doing that because that's the ministry that they've been assigned. But whenever you've got an innate sense of joy that is emerging from your personality and from your countenance, that speaks huge volumes of information to visitors when they come in. It says, you know what? I'm actually glad to be at this church, and I'm glad that you're here with us. And so, you've heard me say this before. I don't like to encourage Christians to go around looking like they've been baptized in lemon juice. And you know, that they go around mad at the world all of the time. And what they're actually saying is, don't you want to become a Christian so you can be as miserable as me? Well, no, if that's what you are offering, then no, I don't want that. That is not what Jesus offered. He said in his presence, there is fullness of joy. And so if we're not experiencing more joy than sadness or sorrow, or if we're not experiencing the contentment that God can bring, then we need to immerse ourselves in the presence of God. We need to take responsibility of that. And so Joseph and these prisoners had built a relationship, and they said, we each had a dream, and there is no interpreter. We have a lack of personnel. We've got something going on, but we need somebody to tell us what this means. And isn't that really where the world is at right now? So much is going on. So much uncertainty. Listen, it is my belief that a world without Jesus, that basically they operate from a fear-mongering type of mindset. I have worked in the secular environment. I know what it is like to go to work and they say, okay, anybody who doesn't make their quota, you're fired. I know what, and their quotas were not just, they were not stable. You know, if you had a big sale last year, you know, your quota would be the same this year, but if they changed the dates of the sale, then this year you weren't competing against your quota from last year. This year you're competing against the quota that they just picked out of thin blue air. And so you got a double whammy. So, that's the way that society operates. They want you uncertain. You know, they want you uncertain about your financial future. Remember, when it comes to economics, that the borrower is servant to the lender. And so one of the things that happens is people get into debt over their eyeballs, and then there's always uncertainty as to how you're going to make it if the entire world falls apart. You know, Dave Ramsey has a line, and he says, if you live like no one else today, meaning that you refuse to buy into that credit mindset and mortgage your future just for a present pleasure, he said, if you will live like no one else today, you will be able to live like no one else tomorrow. And what he's talking about is that there's a liberty and a freedom that comes from that. And it says, you know what? I don't have to live with that fear-mongering reality because I don't owe anyone anything. So I don't know how I got off onto that. But what I do want to point out here is that there is a society right now that is looking for people to help them make sense out of what is going on in the world. What's going on with the shift, the cultural shifts that we are seeing here in America? What does that mean? And I'm telling you, it means a lot more than just what is on the surface of things. What is going on with all of the wars and the rumors of wars? What is going on with all of the nuclear threats and the instability, and what's going on with the attacks on the water supply? What's going on? Would somebody please help us to understand what is going on? You know what? When everything else is shifting, as Christians, we can point to the one who does not change, who is not movable. He is our immovable rock. He is our fortress, our shelter in a time of storm. Jesus is the Lord who changes not. And so they said, we've had a dream and we don't know what to do with it. That's one of the reasons why I believe that everybody needs a pastor. Everybody needs a church where they have somebody that can help point them in the right direction. And Joseph's response is a humble response. He said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? And so he puts the responsibility onto God. He says, the dream that you have and the meaning of the dream, it lies not in here on earth, but understanding it requires a relationship with our Heavenly Father. If you are just looking to a solution to your question without a relationship with Jesus, you are missing the picture. I've said this before about the book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel, it says over and over and over again, a phrase either just exactly like this or very similar to it. And when I act in this manner, then, here's the phrase, then they shall know the Lord. Then they shall know the Lord. And then they shall know the Lord. And you shall know the Lord. And the point of all of that scripture is God is so invested in people knowing who he is and his ways and his thoughts that he will do whatever is necessary to bring us to that place where we know the goodness and the greatness of our God. Then they shall know God. So Joseph said, look, the interpretations belong to God. And the implication that he states here is this, and I belong to God. I'm his child. I've got his dream living inside of me. I don't know what the full implications of my own dream are yet, but I do know this, that the question that you have, the answer, belongs to God. Now, tell me what your dream is. Wouldn't it be awesome if we as the ambassadors of Christ that we are described in the New Testament as, if we walked in our daily lives with that type of confidence in the one who gave us the authority to do signs and wonders. The scripture says, they that know their God shall do great exploits. And so Joseph says, the answer to your question, it lies with God. It belongs to God. Now you tell me what your dream is, and I believe that God will give me the interpretation for you. To make the story short, the butler goes first and he talks about his dream, a vine. There are three branches, which represents 3 days. It buds, it blossoms, it brings forth grapes, and then he presses the grapes into Pharaoh's cup and places the cup in Pharaoh's hand. Now, verse number 12, and Joseph said to them, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Now, within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your place, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand according to the former manner when you were his butler. Okay? Now, I just want to tell you, Joseph interpreted the dream, gave it to him. I'm not going to tell you that the dreams that you have, that they're going to come to pass in 3 days, because that was that man's dream, not your dream. But Joseph interprets the butler's dream. And I'm sure it brings a great deal of comfort to him. I want you to know that there is no mystery that is so great that God does not know the answer to it. But I just want to point out to you, the man had a dream. He didn't know the interpretation. Joseph came along, noticed the difference in his countenance, said, let's consult God on this matter. Tell me what your dream is. And Joseph interpreted the dream. Okay. Now, verse number 14, but remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me and make mention of me to Pharaoh, and get me out of this house. For indeed, I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews. And also I have done nothing here that they should put me in to the dungeon. Okay. Now, Joseph, after he interprets the dream, and he recognizes this is how much confidence that Joseph had in the interpretation of the dream. He begins to admonish the butler on what Joseph needs him to do when his dream comes to pass. How much confidence do you have that God's dream for you is going to become a reality? You know, I'll be honest with you. I've got dreams for Merit Assembly of God that have been existing for over 20 years now. Have they come to pass yet? Not yet. Not yet. But I keep pressing on. I keep pressing on. And so you need to begin, even at this point in time, if your dream has not come to pass, but you have clarity, you know what that dream is, begin to prepare yourself. I believe preparation is very important. Begin to prepare yourself for how you are going to act when that dream does come to pass. I advise premarital counseling to couples. Look, understand the parameters and the boundaries that God has set up over your relationship before you find yourself in a position of temptation. Because when you're in the position of temptation, if you do not have an escape plan, if you do not have protective wisdom in place, then you are going to cave to temptation, and you're going to regret it. So I advise people to prepare. You know, we're now in hurricane season, and they talk about, hey, you need to have an emergency plan in place. You need to have your provisions in place. And so I want to ask you, do you have your spiritual action plan in place for when God brings your reality? I've got a daughter right now, got a call to ministry, but also has a specific vocational call in her life. Right now, she's working here in Brevard County. She's serving in our church, but everybody that knows her knows that that's not the fulfillment of God's call upon her life yet. But she is acting now and preparing for what is going to be happening. And so I just encourage you. So Joseph tells him this, but remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me and make mention of me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house. Okay. He's talking about the dungeon. He's talking about the dungeon of the prison. Okay. That's what he's talking about. And so what he is asking is, now that I've remembered you and I've spoken of you, and God is going to restore you, would you remember me? Would you remember me and bring me up to Pharaoh, show kindness to me, and get me out of this house? As I was preparing for this broadcast, let me just read to you what God dropped in my heart. There is a difference between being content and being comfortable in your prison. There's a difference between being content and being comfortable in your prison. See, Paul said he knew how to abound, and he knew how to be abased, but in all things he had learned the secret of being content. See, our contentment is not based on our outward circumstances, but it says, look, God is in control, and I was reading in the book of Philippians, and there was talks about, you know, that, hey, I'm in chains, I'm in physical chains, but I've got even greater chains. I'm in a bond of love with Jesus Christ. And he was very thankful for that. But Paul was never comfortable in situations that were hindering the furtherance of the gospel. Joseph was content ministering in his prison because the Lord was with him and was making everything he put his hand to prosper. But he wasn't comfortable. You can hear the lack of comfort in there. In his voice, he said, I have not done anything deserving to be in this place. And so I know that my dreams that God has given me, I know that they're not tied into this place. I just know in my spirit that it's not a permanent abode. And so even though I'm content to serve here and minister to other people here, I'm not comfortable here, and my dream's not going to come to pass in this place. And so he always had a desire to get out of the bondage that he found himself in. I read a headline almost a week ago. Well, it was a week ago. And it said this, that there was a city, and they had raised the minimum wage, and the purpose of that was to improve the living conditions of lower income people in that city. But what happened was the people started, when they started making more money, they went to their bosses and said, could you cut my hours? Because if you don't cut my hours, then I'm going to lose a whole bunch of other benefits. And so what was intended to help lift them up out of their prison, they had reached a place of comfort, economic comfort, even though it's just meant minimal provisions. Folks, I pray that you never get comfortable being a sinner. I pray that you never get comfortable being in bondage. I pray that you never get comfortable being in debt. I pray that you never get comfortable being poor. I pray that you never get comfortable not leading a person to Jesus. I pray that you never get comfortable in whatever prison you find yourself in. Not saying don't be content with your relationship with God there to the point that you are paralyzed to be able to spiritually minister to somebody. You need to have that contentment. That contentment only comes with a relationship with Jesus. But don't get so comfortable there that you stay there. Psalm 23 says, though he lead me through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Some places you're meant to go through. You are not meant to abide there forever. Father, I just pray right now for anybody listening. God, I pray that they would be content with their relationship with you so that they could minister to other people. But Lord, let us not be comfortable until we're in the presence of the King with everyone you died to save. In Jesus' name. See you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.